And I don't think I've preached very few sermons on this book or in this book. And I've heard very, very few sermons, but talks about old Solomon, and he wrote this book. And he wrote this book whenever he was running towards the wrong goal in life. He was a man that's already had been talked to the Lord about his salvation, but in the times of his confusion of life, he was running towards the wrong goal. And I tell you, a lot of people today is running towards the wrong goal. Paul says, you know, life is just like a race that we're running. But so many times, even after people are saved, they're running their life towards the wrong goal. They have other priorities in life, and they have other gods in life, and they're running in the wrong direction. And Solomon, this is his journey, and is also, he tells about his mistakes. He has wrote 12 chapters in this book, tells about his mistakes running towards the wrong goal. And I really do believe this morning, if I was going to write a book, I believe it would be more than 12 chapters long for my wrong mistakes and wrong goals that I've run in life also. Because each and every one of us, if we look back upon our life, we can understand that through our life we have run in the wrong direction so many times. But life is such a mystery to us, we really just do not understand it. And this book will cause you to meditate, especially back on your life as we look forward at what God's got planned for us. But looking back in life and how that we might meditate on this and the success that we have had and what we call success today. And the definition of success, you know, life is like a circle. It goes around and around, and the goal of life. And I just picked up this little clip that I had read about success, and a lot of people have different answers to success at different ages. And here this morning we have different ages, and you may have a different answer for success. I was reading it, and it said a four-year-old success is not using the bathroom in his pants. Success for a 12-year-old is having friends. Success for a 16-year-old is having their driving license. Success for a 20-year-old is getting a job. Success for a 30-year-old is having money. Success for a 40-year-old is having more money. And then life came like a circle. It begins to go in the other direction after you hit 40. Sometimes they call that over the hill gang when you hit 40. But then we find out 70 years old, success to them, and I know myself, as having a driver's license. And then 80-year-old is having friends. And then 90-year-old is not using the bathroom in your pants again. So success to each of us this hour is at a different age. It's different for a lot of us. And Solomon tells us about success in life, and he was running his life so long in so many different directions and the wrong goal. I read where a football team, a lot of times there's fumble on the field, and I even read where someone picks up that fumble and recovers that fumble, but in the confusion of the game, they pick it up and they run in the wrong directions. And then the opposite team runs interference for them because of the confusion. Well, Solomon says, you know, life is like that. He says so many times, you know, the ball of life has been trusted into your hands. And, you know, the confusion of life itself, we begin to run in the wrong goal. And I tell you, it takes a lot of us to think about this in your life now. And this is a book of meditation that you might meditate this. That we run in the wrong direction so many times. And Satan is running interference for us to make sure that we run this goal in the wrong direction. So we read this morning in this book of Ecclesiastes, verses 1 and 2, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you for this precious word, and Father, how that you bring it to our minds, Lord, that we might recall some things in our life and really look into our life and see if we're really running, Lord, this goal, the right direction of our life, running the right direction towards this right goal. Father, so many times as we are human beings, and Lord, we know there's so much confusion in life, and Father, without you, there would be nothing but confusion, but we do want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us and to, Lord, to help us understand, Lord, these mysteries we have in life, and Father, knowing one of these days that we see life from eternity's standpoint, and Lord, we understand one of these days that, Lord, all these mysteries of life, God, that it will be different whenever we come face to face with Jesus Christ. Father, if there be one here this day who has never accepted you and they're running in the wrong direction, we pray today, Lord, they might accept you as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray, God, even this one here is saved today. Many it may be saved here today, but Lord, they have so much confusion in their life and seems like life is just a toss-up and they really don't know and understand. Father, we pray much you might give them the insight for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, lead and guide and direct them, Lord, that we know that only you can through your Word. Father, Lord, we just pray and thank you, Lord, for the far seeing of this service, Lord, that you might overshadow this church this time. We know that, Lord, that you live in us, and Father, we just pray that, Lord, you might be around us this day, Lord, with your presence. Without your presence, Lord, we would be nothing. And we thank you, Lord, in the midst of your great Spirit of God this day, that we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Many are confused and complex in this life that we live, and I'm one of them. Really not knowing what life is all about so many times. I know I come to a time in my life that I want to get off that merry-go-round. If you understand that all it is just work, 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 get all that merry-go-round, go around and around. Well, this book is a journal of King Solomon's and all the mistakes and everything that he made. But also, as you think about this, he had everything. I'm going to tell you what, he owned cattle. He had everything. He had popularity. He had riches. He had wives. He had everything his heart could desire. But yet, he was a washout because he run towards the wrong goal in this book. And he put this for example for us, and to us to understand and to learn and to have a right living and not just a life, you know, with fill of everything we want and desire and not running in the life right goal. So this book, I tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I know each and every one of us have here today. But we need to learn from the mistakes of others because a lot of times we don't have time to make them all for ourselves. So you need to learn from mistakes of others. And this is what old Solomon is telling us, that we need to learn from his mistakes. You know, the book of the Bible, for a lot of things, Old Testament tells us, they're in there for us an example, for us to learn from other people, and to learn from the Old Testament, and learn from people's mistakes. You know, mothers and fathers and grandparents here today, that's what your kids and your grandkids are supposed to do. They're supposed to learn from our mistake. Because I know you grandparents and you mothers and fathers here today, I know that you've made mistakes and I made mistakes. And you would like for your children to learn from your mistakes and don't make the same mistakes that you do. So many times, though, we have to let them live their life and learn from their own mistakes. But I understand the basics we have here in this book for us to understand our life. Life is a living that we need to learn that God wants us to live and how he wants us to live. And a lot of us living our life the way we want to live our life. But in this book here, God says, I want you to learn how I want you to live. You see, there's a different way that I live my life and the way that God wants me to live my life. And there's a different way that you live your life and the way that God wants you to live your life. I can assure you that all of us could make some changes if we lived our life according to the way God wanted us to live our life. This complex mystery of life, as we understand these verses 1 and 2 as I read, vanity, all is vanity, it says, you know. Well, when the Bible puts emphasis on something, they want you to really understand that the Word of God by the Spirit of God, they put emphasis on some things to pay attention now, which says vanity and vanities, all is vanity, because you see, a lot of times in the tabernacle, there was a cube-shaped building, and it was called the Holies of Holies. Pay attention, this is very, very important, the Holies of Holies. And whenever Jesus Christ was speaking to the people, you see, he had something very, very important. He'd say, very, very. Listen up now. I got something to tell you. And then we have the majesty of the Lord. We're trying to convert over the majesty, how great that he is. We said, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Solomon says, vanity of vanity. Now listen, pay attention. This is very, very important. I got something to say. This is king size. He said that I am confused and I just can't figure out life. And you know, that's most of us. You really can't figure out life because life is like a puzzle. It is a mystery. No one has all and everything figured out in life. We can't figure it out because God made life a mystery that we really can't fully understand this side of eternity. And this question was asked to a bunch of college students about the definition of life. And one says, life is a joke that's not very funny. Another one says, life is just a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born. And the third one was asked, life is a disease for which only cure is death. Life is empty and vain apart from God. You know, God engineered that in our hearts and mind, that way that we have to have God. God wills and made life a mystery for us. There's things that I don't understand. I don't understand the suffering of kids. I don't understand the wars. I don't understand how that people can live the best they can and different things happen. There's a lot of things I don't understand in life. And that's the reason so many times whenever things are happening to people and they say, pray, pray for them, and we don't really know what to pray for. Have you ever been in that position? People that had brought to your attention and asked you to pray for them, and the problems and perplex problems they have in life, and you don't know what to pray for. You know why? Because life is a mystery, and we cannot understand mystery apart from God, and He allows this to happen to us. Romans 8, 20 and 21 says, for the creation was made subject to vanity, not willing. That means we didn't have a choice, but by reason of Him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. God created and said, here it is. This is creation. But you're not going to be able to figure it out. God give us this creation. He created things for us, but we can't figure it out. Not these little minds we have by the reason. And the reason we can't figure it out in these little minds that God give us, because God loves us so much, He didn't want us to figure it out in our own minds. And I want you to think and bear with me just a minute. God knows if we could figure it out with our own wisdom and our own ingenuity, we would never come to Him. And did you know that's what you call humanists today? In the society, in the world, in the United States that we're living in today, did you know that is the very reason they want God out of our society and out of our country? Because our great people of this world and our country, they can figure it out without God. They got every mystery figured out. Anything problem they have, they gather together and get a committee and they figure it out. And most of the time, they want to throw more money at it. They got it all figured out. Every problem we have, all they got to do is meet together and they come up with a crew and they figure it out. But you see, here in the Word of God, vanity is confusion, mystery. Because mystery is a tool that God uses to draw us to Himself. We cannot figure it out. Whenever you've gone as far as you can, things just will not work out right. I mean, it seems like the bottom draws out. Everything you do seems like to fall apart. You see, you begin to look up. There's a mystery of what's going on in your life. You see, maybe it's your family, and you know, maybe it's you're going through some problems in your family. Maybe you're going through some problems in your sickness. Maybe you're going through some problems in your finance, and you just can't figure it out. You've done everything you can. You're doing the best you can, but it's just not working out. You can't figure it out. God has a tool, and that tool is the mystery that you won't be able to figure it out without Him. Pick up the broken pieces and bring it to the Lord. There's a song. I hope Oral looks that thing up and sings that song. Pick up the broken pieces. I don't know how that thing goes, but I remember old Jody Thigpen over an old church. He used to sing that thing around the piano. Pick up the broken pieces. That might be the name of it. I don't even know. But you see, that's what God is telling to our life today. You know what? That's God is talking to the world today. Bring it to me, because it's a mystery and you can't figure it out. You need help putting this puzzle together. And God is the one that has the answer. As we think about this, draw Him to Him. Psalms says, life without God, He says, you're just running your life in the wrong direction. You're running your life to the wrong goal. Man desires to do more, to know more of the deepest thing, the meanings of life. In chapter 3, in verse 10 and 11, it says, I have seen a travel which God hath given to the Son of Man to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the works that God made from the beginning to the end. God has set eternity in our hearts. You see, no other creature that God created has the eternity in the heart that we do. No animals have what you and I have today. God created us different. He breathed in us the breath of life. In this life, he gave us a life that we might have eternity in our minds and go on behind us. See, God gave us a desire to see life from the eternity perspective. Because this can't be all they are to life, is what I'm living today. They got to be something else. We all looking for a better day. We all looking for better things. We all looking for the hereafter. You know, it's called heaven, a place where Jesus Christ is prepared for us. Because nothing seems to make sense in this earth. We're getting old and these bodies are growing old and aches and pains. And you know, things like life begins to fall apart. But I'm looking for one day that things will be put back together. Because this life that I'm living on this side of eternity is nothing but a mystery that I really don't understand a whole lot about. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. I know a lot of us sit down and we try to put puzzle together and you work and you work and you work. And I mean, it's a big puzzle and you there on the table, maybe you and your wife together and y'all putting this puzzle together. But see, somebody have slipped in and put some different pieces of that puzzle. And maybe they remove some of the pieces of that puzzle that you do have. And you work and work and just don't make sense. Your family, your loved ones, it just don't make sense because it's just confusion. Well, that's what life is all about. You see, life is like that jigsaw puzzle that somebody's moved in and put some different pieces. That's so Satan himself. And you try to put it together, and you will never be able to put it together. Only God can put them pieces together. You have something broken this day, broken things, bring it to God. God can put it together. That's what old Solomon says. Things are broken, and I can't put it together. Life is like a jigsaw puzzle, and I can't put it together. But he said that's what life is all about. God has caused confusion to enter into this life that you and I know of the day that we might come to God. Chapter 7 and verse 14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversities, consider God has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. You know what he's saying? Take good and take the bad. It all works out. You take the good and you take the bad. And God put some all together. I want to tell you, you take the good. I don't know, it's a mystery. And you take the bad. Can you say here that you've had some good times in your life? Can everybody say they've had some good times in your life? Most of us can say that we've had some bad times. It might have been on an operating table. It might have been some sickness. It might have been some problems with your family. It might be whatever it might be. But, you know, they've been some bad times too. Everybody been through any bad times, some bad things happened to them, maybe some bad times. You had some good times and some bad times. You see, there's some good times and there's some good and bad times in your life. But you see, God caused it all to work out this morning that I can say God has been good to me. I can say today, you know, that I have had a good life. Although they've been some bad things and they've been some good things. But I'm here to tell you that I've had a good life. Can you say that this morning? You've had some bad things, and Cole Solomon said, I had some good things, had some bad things. I didn't understand. But when it all comes to the end, God brings it and says, boy, that is real good. He puts one against the other. Like an old Chinese story says, you know, a man bought a prize horse, and the horse escaped. And they said, boy, that's bad. He said, no, that's good. The horse went off and brought some more horses back. He said, boy, that's good. They said, no, that's bad, because his son tried to ride with the horses and he broke his leg. He said, well, that's bad. He said, no, that's good. They called for war and my son couldn't go. You see, some things is good, some things are bad, but it all happened. God puts them all together in my life. You know, God has put all this together in your life. He's put the bad and he's put the good, the mystery in life that we don't even understand. And you know, that's what God is all about. We can't figure it out. The mystery of life. We see through a glass dark. But you see, one day face to face we'll understand whenever God brings it all together for us. You see, where is the answer at to this mystery of life? Where's the answer? I want to tell you this morning, as old Solomon said, the answer is not in nature. As I read verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1, he says, it's just not in nature. What profits a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation cometh, but the earth abides forever. You see, what we have is not in nature, because he says, you know, all life we know is either birth and their death. There's birth and there's death. There's birth and there's death. That's what it's been through all our families, of every one of us today. And looking back for our grandparents, they've been birth and they've been death. And that's what old Solomon says, it's not in nature. I was thinking about old Wendy as she's over all the kids that's born there in Red Cross Hospital. I don't know how many she's had at one time they have, you know, and they just keep being born. That's her job all the time. You know, birth after birth after birth. But you see, when she goes home, she's not here this morning, but when she goes home, I don't know how many funeral homes that she passes, but them funeral homes are also busy also. Did y'all know it? Always busy, always busy. Because there's birth and there's death. There's birth and there's death. You know, man is supposed to subdue the earth, but the earth stays here and man goes on. You see, there are a lot of your families and loved ones not here anymore. They done gone on. Your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your father, your mother, they're done gone on. Chapter 12 and 5, it says, man goes to his long home. In verses 5, 6, and 7 of chapter 1, it said, the sun also arises, and the sun goeth down and hasten to its place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about and to the north. It withers about continuously, and the wind returns again according to the circuit. The rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place where whence the rivers come, hither they return again. As we see, we know that the old man river, he don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling along. I've had the pleasure, the opportunity to see some great rivers of our country. I've been to the Niagara River and I saw the Niagara Falls. I stood there as millions of people have stood there and watched that water as it flows over that great fall. You know, I got to thinking, you know, how many years and years and years and years has this water come over this great rocks and down into the Niagara River? Many, many years, many, many tons and billions and billions and billion gallons of water, and yet it's still running. You may not have been going to the Niagara Falls and saw that great sight, but most of us have been to the Satilla River, and it runs into the ocean, and it runs into the ocean, and it keeps running every year. It runs, sometimes not as much as it's doing right now, but it runs into the ocean, and it runs into the ocean, and it runs into the ocean. It keeps running all your life, the Satilla River, and all your grandfather's parents' life. Satilla River's been running and been running and been running. But yet the ocean is never full. It never makes it rise not one bit for all the rivers of the world. You see, God's got a way of leveling out everything. Just as our life, and we don't understand it this morning, but God's got a way of leveling out our life. It says in verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. Eyes is not satisfied with seeing, nor ears full of hearing. Now, here it says, you know, that you couldn't figure it all out. But yet, mankind, in that verse of Scripture, he said, we're not satisfied seeing things or hearing things. I think this generation can prove that verse of Scriptures. Some channels of television, I think you can get them all. There probably were 500 channels on television. And a man likes that remote control. I believe if I had 500, I'd look at most of them at one time or another, continuously. 500 channels, that's still not enough. They come up with some more. A lot of people prescribe for some more channels because they're still not satisfied. And the hearing, the kids in these boom box going all the time, all the type of music, and they're never satisfied. Solomon wrote this, I believe, to our generation, to every generation, just like news that you read today, that we're never satisfied, the kids. It's not in nature. The answer also is not in history. And verses 9 and 10 tell us of chapter 1, the things that have been, it is which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it may be already of old time, which was before us? We say, the answer's not in history. We say, yeah, now there's a lot of new things. There's these smartphones, and you got to be smart to use one of them. I don't have one. I mean, there's a lot of new things we say here. You know, there's the pacemakers they make. And, you know, there's laptops, laser surgery. There's a lot of new things today, and it goes on and on. But he says there's nothing new. You know why? Because the same old deadly sin was around in Solomon's day is the same old deadly sin that's around in our day today. Sorrow, war, greed, unhappiness, dishonesty. Immorality. Outward we might see things changing, but inside it stays the same. It's like a treadmill. Anybody ever walked on a treadmill till you give out and you get off the same place you get back on that? Or you got on that? That's the way it is, like a merry-go-round in life. The answer is not in history. The answer is not in science. In verses 13 and 14 it tells us, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. the sore travail hath God made to the sons of men to be exercised therein. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Man has many new inventions. I mean, they make them new all the time, but not a clue on what life is all about without God. History tells us what, science tells us how, but neither of us tells us why. God says the answer is in me. The answer is not in education, as some people believe, and this country is great in this education. Chapter 1, 15 on 18, it says also, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I have come to the great estate and got more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also vexation of the spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. They tell us the answer of the problem today is in education. That's the answer of all the problem. Man can figure it out in education. That's all it takes. So Solomon says, well, I tried that. The mystery of life, he said, I tried that. Well, according to that, if that be the truth, then you know the most educated people ought to be the most happiest people in the world. I mean, you take the teachers today, we have some here today, you ought to be the happiest people in the world. College professors ought to be the happiest people in the world, if that be the case. But you see, old Solomon says, you know, there's sorrow comes with that. Apart from God, life is meaningless. Apart from God, wisdom is also meaningless. In chapter 2 and 14, it says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, and the fool walketh in darkness, and my eyes perceived also that one event happens to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever, seeing that which now is in thy days to come shall all be forgotten, and now dieth the wise as the fool. You know what he's saying? They've been some very, very intelligent and wise men in this world that we're living in. In this country, as you look back on the history of the United States, they've been some great presidents. Washington, Lincoln, and many, many others. I mean, the wisdom they had to lead and to guide this country in the leadership of God. But they died. And you know, that knowledge went down to the dirt also. Have you ever been down to the beach and your kids and you building some sand castles or whatever you want to build in the sand? And then, you know, as you build them things, the tide began to come in. You go off and come back, maybe, and the tide has come in. And right where that sand castle is, the sand is just smooth like it had never been there. You see, all the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given your forefathers, the great wisdom of this world today. I mean, your parents and your grandparents, they was wise, and you loved them, and they was wise. But you see, all my parents, my grandparents, my great, right on back and on back and on back, all those done passed on, all that knowledge is gone. It is like it never have happened. All the knowledge that you accumulate, all the great knowledge that you think you have today, one of these days it's going to be like that sand that comes in and that ocean comes in with the waves. It's going to level it back just like it was nothing. It's all going to depart from every one of us. And that's where, you know, Solomon says, what difference to remember? Who can remember that wise man or that fool? It wouldn't even work. How about them days when Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, the great men of God they were, but they were some fools there, and I'm going to tell you, it lived the night time also. But who remembers them? They all died. They went back. Where's the knowledge? The wise man is not remembering no more than the fool was. That knowledge is gone. That knowledge is gone. The same thing it says about your parents. That all that knowledge your father had is just like that sand. It's been washed away. Apart from God, wealth has no meaning. In chapter 6 and 1 and 2, it says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man of whom God hath given riches and wealth and honor, so he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired. Yet God gave him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity and an evil disease. You see what he's saying here? I was telling Joyce that we'd come back from Red Cross, and we went out to eat. And you know, I can remember whenever we first got married, and you know, we didn't have a lot to go on. And we didn't go out and eat. I know the young generation, they can do it all they want to, but we didn't do it. We didn't have it. We just didn't do it. A lot of things that you didn't have when you was young coming along. But you see, I can go out anytime I want to now. Now I can't eat. Isn't that right? That's what old Solomon says in those verses of scriptures. Somebody else going to eat it, but well, I can't eat it. We used to have it. We can't eat it. Also, it's talking about your wealth. You see, one of these days, I don't care how much you have, one of these days, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. Honest thing is going to count is what you do for the Lord, because all you leave behind, someone else is going to spend it. Apart from God, work is also meaningless. In chapter 9 and verse 11, I return and saw under the sun, and the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither the bread to the wise, nor yet rich to the man of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. Solomon says that he was the richest man probably had ever lived. The wealth had everything he wanted. Hard work, wealth. You see, a lot of times people say, man, look what I've done. I worked and I worked and I worked and look what I've got. I've got something because I work for it. Oh, you need to work for it. You know, that's something that's missing from our society today. You need to work for it. I mean, that's the way our society was built, is work. But I want to tell you what, a lot of times when they were people say, I done it, I done it, I done it, you're forgetting time and chance. Because there are other people who work just as hard as you don't have what you have. I tell you this morning, every one of us in here, I believe, is rich. Upside the people that I went to see when I went to Mexico. They don't live in nothing but cardboard box if they can find one. Don't know where they're going to get a box of beans. Everybody in here is rich today. You say, because what I done. I tell you, they people in Mexico have worked harder than you have, and they don't have it because of time and chance. And even in our country and right here around us, it's not just you. I mean, that's one thing that entered into it is your work, but also there's time and there's chance also that God has given this to you. You just think about this. The challenge of this adventure of life today. You know, God has given us an adventure and we need to live it to the joyfulest that we can. But you see in chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul joyful. Good in his labor. This also, I said, it was from the hand of God. God give us everything. You know what I said? You need to learn. Get off of this running this wrong. And you need to learn to enjoy life as you go along. This is hard for some time for us to learn to enjoy life as we go along. Especially when you're young and you bring your family. Just go, go, go. Don't wait. A lot of people says that I've worked with a lot of people at Redwood, me and Jimmy have, and Brother Junior, a lot of people wait. Boy, when I retire, we're going to get us a camper. We're going to build us a house. We're going to travel. And I saw it time after time after time. Him or either his wife, one of them would die. And I could name several of them. I know Jimmy and Junior can too. They never got a chance to do what they said they wanted to do. All they want to do is work and save, work and save, work and save, work. And one of these days, I'm going to enjoy life. One of these days, I'm going to enjoy life. They died. You wait to enjoy life. You wait until you enjoy life. You get older. Psalm says you better start enjoying as you go along. That's what God intends for you to do. Enjoy your life as you're going along. Joyce and myself, we have enjoyed the cup of joy that God has given us in our life. I can say here this morning, I have enjoyed, and I try to enjoy every day and every week the life that God has given me. Because you see, one of these days your family is going to be gone. Your family is going to grow older. And I tell you, those stumps are going to die, but the sprouts keep going on. How to live life because God is good to us. We should live life joyfully. Verse 13, it says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the goods of his labor. It is a gift of God." It is a gift of God. Enjoy life. Squeeze out all the juice you can because it's a gift of God. You know, a lot of people wants a better life than what you have been dealt, when they should enjoy the life that they have. They want a better life. They're never satisfied, but you need to enjoy the life that you have. Because, you see, most time there's never enough money. I always want to make and always want to earn more money. I'm always worth more. I need to earn more money. That's, you know, that's our lifestyle. Earn more money. You got to have more money. To a woman, you know, they're never beautiful enough. If you watch television, all this plastic surgery they go through, I mean, one after another, they just keep going. They're never beautiful enough. And you know, clothes are never fashion enough for a lot of people. Cars are never nice enough. You know, gadgets are never modern enough. You always got to have a new gadget. You know, houses are never furnished enough. You always remodel and refix because it's never nice enough. Boy, I want to tell you, cannot leave it alone, can you? Keeps going on and on, don't it? To whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. And an old saying is, when little is much, I've got all I need. When little is much. There was an era in the time that a lot of people was raised at my time when I was coming up, and a lot of you that's older than me, whenever the days that you had, you know, a roof over your head, something on the table, clothes on your back, and your family was a home around the table, that was all you needed. That was little, but it was much in the eyes of the Lord. To be satisfied, to have a satisfied mind, and just stop running towards the wrong goal. I'm going to tell you, that hits a lot of us, I tell you. To be satisfied what God has given you when little is much. Little is much, thank the Lord for the life that he has given me. Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Verse 28 says, "Thou art God, I will praise thee. That thou art my God, I will exalt thee." Because God is sovereign, we should live life with confidently. 3:14 tells us, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man." God is in control, he says. He has said, "Trust me." There's not a blade of grass that moves without God's permission, allowing that grass to move. I'll tell you something else. There's not a drop of water falls on our parking lot unless it gets permission from God. Everything has permission from God. He says, "I'm in control, whether you believe it or not." Rainy weather, dry weather, windy weather, sunny weather, God is in control of everything that happens to us. Because God is holy, we should live life reverence. In chapter 12 and verse 14. "For God shall bring every works unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad." That sounds like reading in Corinthians, the judgment seat of Christ, don't it? That God would bring everything into remembrance. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, the judgment seat of Christ. But then you see, life is a life of that we really need to live because, you know, God's testing us. You know, I brought some sermons on the testing of life and comprehensive test. And, you know, we need to learn to rejoice. In chapter 11 and verse 9, we need to learn how to rejoice. He says, "Rejoice, young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thy eyes. But know thou that for all these things will God bring into judgment." Watch out when you do live your life, but live it to the fullest. Have joy in the Lord, but remember, God knows everything and he's watching everything. We need to learn to rest. 11 and 10 says, "Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for children and youth are vanity." He says, you know, the sorrow, it means put away anger, resentment, and rejoice life and all bitterness out of your life, the sorrow. Learn, he says, to rest. I don't have to learn to do rest. I do that better than I do anything else. I take some of God's word, whether you believe it or not, but I take some of God's word really to truth, and I use it and I do it. And rest is one of them. But you see, it's talking about rest. You ain't got time for nothing. You're on this merry-go-round of life, and you're running your life towards the wrong goal of life. You ain't got time to enjoy life. Listen, you can't get enough. You can't get enough of money. You can't get enough of this. You can't get enough of that. Everything on and on and on and on, and you don't enjoy the life that God has given you. One day it's going to be over. One day it's going to be over. I've told several people that I work this way. I work all the overtime. They just work day and night, 7 days a week. Sunday don't mean that's work, 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 save, work, 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 work. Well, it's good to put up and save. But I can tell you one thing, and they just didn't even get to have time to be with their kids. And I said, one day when your life is over and you're on your last breath, I guarantee you won't say, I wish I'd have made more hours at work. I wish I'd have worked harder or longer hours. I wish I'd have saved more. No, you won't say that when it comes down to your last breath. I wish I had a bigger job, a better job. I wish my business would grow more. I wish I had more money. I wish all these things. You won't say that when it comes down to your last breath, that I wish all these things. When the Lord flashes your life before you, there's a lot of things that I wish I took time to do this and took time to do that. And it's going to be over for you one day. Solomon says, you're running your life towards the wrong goal. And all this is going to come to an end. He says, where's your daddy at now? He's gone. Where's your granddaddy? He's gone. Where's your great-granddaddy? They're gone. And you're going to be gone also. You can't enjoy what God has given you. You're going to leave it behind. It's not going to be here. Learn to remember, it says in chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days cometh not and the years draweth nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Learn to remember, call into mind, and honor and obey God. In chapter 12 and verse 13 says, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter now. Fear God, keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, life is a mystery. And we need to learn this mystery of life because of God's saying, chapter 3 and verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, or nothing, not a thing can be taken from it. God does it, and man should fear before him. You see, Solomon says, you know, the wisest man that ever lived, probably. He says, you and I know something that, you know, Solomon didn't know. Now, I'm not a wise man, but I can give you a profound statement right now that old Solomon didn't jot down in his words. What would that be this morning that I could tell you this morning? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because I was born on this side of the cross and Solomon was on the other side. But I can tell you a statement that Solomon could not tell you. He knew Jehovah God, but Jesus Christ, because he loved me so. Solomon says for every one of us this morning and for this world, you're running your life towards your own goal and you're not enjoying it as you go along. And you're Christians and you should enjoy and squeeze all the joy out of life that you can, because I put these things here on this earth for you to enjoy. I give you health that you should enjoy. And yet you want more. You can't get enough. You don't enjoy the things that I give you. This is a commentary upon our nation that you and I live on this day, that we never can get enough. The only thing that's going to count is what you give back to God, because you're going to turn loose everything that you have. One of these days, I'm going to tell you, people holds on. They can't get big enough. They can't get enough. They want to hold on and hold on. You can't sleep in but one bed at a time. You can't drive but one car at a time. And when is good enough good enough? When are you going to quit remodeling? Me and Joyce are remodeling now. I shouldn't have said that. I had a Joyce trying to fix up something. Always fixing up something. Always something not satisfied. Always got to fix something to do. But one of these days, you hold on to it. You want to for your own self. But one of these days, these hands is going to do the same thing that your daddy's hands done. And your grandfather's hands. And your great-grandfather's hands. They're not here. They released everything to someone else. And you, my friends, will too. Solomon says, you're running your life towards the wrong goal. I did too. And I wrote 12 chapters in the book of God for you to understand, to turn your life around and start enjoying what God has given you. And the first way you can start enjoying that is you ask Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord, that I know that I'm a sinner. I've been running my life in the wrong direction, and I need you, Lord, as my Savior. If that person here this day has never done that, you need to do that right now. And then after you're saved, you know what? We still have this problem of self, do we not? We still want all these things and all these things. Can't get enough, can't be satisfied. God says, live the life that I've given you and quit worrying about having a better life. Live the life I've already given you. I'll make everything all right. And bring the broken pieces. God says, I'll put this puzzle together. You can't understand. I made it that way because you've got to have me. And he says, bring these puzzles and I'll show you how to put it together that your life will be meaningless and mean something to this world and to Jesus Christ. We come now here with a song of invitation. This is not a sermon this morning. I just want to talk to you today about the things that God taught to me that I know that many of us is getting ready and we won't be around this world much longer. You say, wait a minute, I might live 10 more years ain't very long to me. You might live 20 years. I'm going to tell you, 20 years is not very long. Well, I might live 40 more years. Listen, I worked over 40 years at railroad and it was gone just like that. 40 years are not very long. Well, I might live to be 100. Well, 100 years is not very, very long. That's what I'm talking about. It's every day. And it should be with every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. As we stand and sing this song this day.